Hey everybody, this is Alexa, and welcome to the Daily Reflection Podcast. I would definitely say that the turning point that has made the biggest impact on my life was the choice to really choose AA versus having it be a have to. You know what? Maybe, in fact, this is the easier, softer way. Maybe this can actually be the joyful experience that I see working for so many hundreds of people that I have known.
Welcome to the Daily Reflection Podcast. My name is Michael Lynn from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And I'm Lee McGinnis from Leesburg, Virginia.
As members of the recovery community, we created this podcast as a way to provide experience, strength, and hope through the lens of the Daily Reflection book. Each day, we interview members of the recovery community in the hope that their experience may provide inspiration.
We value inclusion and diversity, and we really want to provide a platform for all the voices of recovery. We aren't affiliated with any 12-step or recovery program, but you may hear these mentioned throughout the course of an interview.
Hey, before we get to the show, I'd like to ask a favor. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, it'd be great if you could leave us a comment or a rating. This is going to do a couple of things. It's going to help us expand our reach and improve the show.
We hope you enjoyed this episode.
Today is July 11th, and I'm joined in the studio by Alexa H. from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She's sharing today on the Daily Reflection, a turning point. Alexa, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so awesome to be here.
Terrific. Well, we get the show started in the same way every day. We ask the guests to read the Daily Reflection for the day. Today's July 11th. Would you get us started and read?
Absolutely. Yeah. A turning point. A great turning point in our lives came when we sought for humility as something we really wanted rather than as something we must have. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 75. Either the AA way of life becomes one of joy, or I return to darkness and despair of alcoholism. Joy comes to me when my attitude concerning God and humility turns to one of desire rather than of burden. The darkness in my life changes to radiant light when I arrive at the realization that being truthful and honest in dealing with my inventory results in my life being filled with serenity, freedom, and joy. Trust in my higher power deepens, and the flush of gratitude spreads throughout my being. I am convinced that being humble is being truthful and honest in dealing with myself and God. It is then that humility is something I really want, rather than being something I must have.
Thanks for reading that. And we're obviously in the seventh month. We're talking about humility. The seventh step is all about humbly asking for our shortcomings to be removed. So I want to ask you, you know, the Daily Reflection is entitled A Turning Point. And there are obviously many turning points in life, but maybe you can talk about one turning point that was meaningful for you.
I would definitely say that the turning point that has made the biggest impact on my life was the choice to really choose AA versus having it be a have to, right? And in some ways, it's like the I really wanted to versus I was something that I must do. I spent almost two decades fighting the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and probably for reasons because I was not being, you know, I wasn't being humble. I had a, you know, some distorted versions of reality, of distorted versions of myself and my place. But once I had basically tried every other path to like handle my addiction, handle my crazy mind, and realized that they were all coming up, like I was coming up shorthanded with each of them, it was just like, you know what? Maybe in fact, this is the easier, softer way. Mm-hmm. Maybe this can actually be the joyful experience that I see working for so many hundreds of people that I had known throughout my time in and out of the rooms.
Yeah. Are you comfortable sharing your sobriety date?
Yeah. So my sobriety date, I have just over 9 months. So September 12th, 2021 is my sobriety date. Mm-hmm. And I first came into the rooms at about, I think it was 2003. I think it was actually in October of 2003. So, you know, it's been a bumpy road on the road, on the way to humility and recovery for me.
Yeah. So there were multiple attempts.
Yeah, and there were even long-term sobriety attempts in there. But I think this idea of humility, I mean, truly, when I first came into the rooms, I was about 21 going on 22. And this idea of humility, I actually remember having issues with that word specifically. I was like, why would you guys choose the word humility? Like, you know, and I actually looked it up in getting prepared for this podcast, and actually the definition of it doesn't sound very awesome. I mean, modest or low view of one's own importance, modest or low view of one's own importance, humbleness. And, you know, in the past, because I was such a, I had such a chip on my shoulder, and also probably because I was super young, I saw that as a weakness. I saw, I didn't necessarily see turning my will and my life over to God theoretically as a weakness, but the idea of being humble and being a worker amongst workers, I felt like there was some sort of hidden agenda in there, for the people of AA to not really like desire more for their lives. This was like the lens that I was viewing AA through at that point. And, you know, of course, it's like what you expect to see is what's going to show up for you, right? So I had all this evidence. I was like, you see, like they never really went for it in their life. They're like happy to just not push themselves out of their comfort zones. But that come from of like, nobody's going to hold me down. Like I got to break out and like, you know, prove something to the world. That was not a humble perspective on life. And so I needed to repeatedly, you know, try things out to where I was like, all right, I'm going to get the stage. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to make a fool out of myself because I actually don't think high enough of myself, right? Because I'm not being humble. I'm not having humility. And so it was like really shifting that view of humility to like, wow, like right sized.
Like that.
Allowing something else in my life to support me rather than me having to like be master and commander of like every aspect of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see it quite a bit in the rooms. There's a lot of that common element, you know, especially in people that are driven. And there's this confusing element around humility and confusing like being humbled with having humility. And I heard a great definition. Someone mentioned that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. I think that was it. Let me say that again.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. So I heard an interesting definition of the word humility. And I think it's something like, you know, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Yeah. Mm. So
that's perfect.
Yeah. So having experienced years of sobriety and then going back out, do you feel like you were humbled?
Yeah, I definitely was. And it's not so much in the traditional sense that sometimes I hear other people share about their disease of alcoholism and how they got their, you know, booties handed to them for lack of a better word. But I did. It just was more so in the fact that I was just constantly up against the fact that I was still unhappy. I was still unhappy. Like no matter how much I achieved, I still had that giant hole in my soul that was telling me that I wasn't enough, that I wasn't worthy, that was comparing myself to others and always coming up short, or trying to get one over on other people so that I could actually have the upper hand in situations, or, you know, make sure that I wasn't going to have my ego hurt in any way, right? Like needing to like put myself above others so that I didn't have to, it was just protecting myself. There was so much self-protection all the time. And also this idea of being of service, you know, I was mortified that if I just gave up my life's desire, which I had thought for years, like that I wanted to be a film director. And it also, I had no idea how I was possibly going to make that happen, right? It was like, sort of, I picked like the thing that could be like the most challenging possibility or experience. And then I was like, I'm not going to be happy until that's my life. That's where I'm supposed to be, you know, and moved out to LA and, you know, chased that dream a bit and sort of fell on my ass a bit. And, you know, it was just this constant, like, never getting ahead in my life with these audacious goals that I had. And even after achieving some of these audacious goals, it was like, there was always just more, and I still felt worse or not better about myself. And I just realized, I was like, wow, this is really like, this is the hole in the soul that addiction is, that my alcoholism is. And, you know, something that shifted for me this time through the rooms is really giving up the expectation of what my life looks like or where I think that my life should be going. I mean, I still have some desires in there, I'm not going to lie. Like, I still have some writing about like where I would like to be, but it's not this like constant thrashing towards a, like, you know, this like oppositional experience of like, I'm not there and I should be, and berating myself. It's really like, okay, cool. I'm going to turn it over. And actually, when I am in service, when I am like leading with my heart, when I am in alignment, you know, that's when all of the beautiful experiences happen. And when I think about some of the people who have had the most humility, you know, you think about like historic leaders like Martin Luther King Jr., you know, even Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's a current person, like all these people, I think if you met them, we would be surprised that of the humility, maybe in certain aspects of their lives. I don't know about all aspects here, but I think that when you're really accessing something that's for the benefit of all and for truly like bringing greatness into your life so that others can be benefited from it, like that's humility. And it doesn't, you know, you actually are able to make a greater impact, I feel, when you're able to like align your will with something greater than yourself.
I have found that. I've found useful wholeness and a purpose in life in the rooms, you know, just being able to share my experiences around my addiction and substance abuse with others and being able to help. That's an amazing thing. And it did take, you know, some humbling and humility in order for that to happen. But what a component of what you talked about was a higher power. So, you know, maybe talk a little bit about what that looks like for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was not one of these people who had a whole lot of resistance to a higher power. I'm super non-denominational, so I didn't have a lot of resistance against like a Catholic or a Christian God or anything like that. I mean, if anything, sometimes the language of AA can feel a little bit just, you know, I have to translate it a little bit for me to really resonate with it. And there, you know, I take what I need and I leave the rest, right? So this idea, I mean, I think that's the thing that I love the most about the programs is that the people who are really here working a program, it is a spiritual basis for life. And it is completely up to you the way that you want to access that, the way that you want to, you know, whatever rituals you want to take on, prayers, whatever, it's basically whatever's going to work for you. But I do think that, you know, having that genuine desire to be supported and to surrender my control, which is very challenging for, you know, type A personalities, that needs to be there. And I think that was definitely not an aspect of my sobriety before, when I had my, you know, my other journeys through AA. I couldn't figure it out. I just really could not figure out how to turn my will and my life over. And therefore I was just like, you know, constantly kind of unhappy and stressed out. And so this time through, it's been so beautiful. Like, I really do feel there was this turning point when I came in this last time, and it was absolutely a humility where it was like, wow, I've really tried every single which way that I could possibly try and maneuver. Like, I've done, you know, I've gone off and I've done the meditation retreats where all you do is meditate for, you know, 6-8 hours a day. I've done the crazy trips to the jungle. I've done the meditation retreats. I've done the hypnotherapy, the, you know, you name it. There's just a lot of different modalities out there, and they would work for a lot of people. I'd be like, well, this is working for my friends. Like, why is this not working for me? And I was like, okay, cool. I can still do those other things. And they do have value. And I, you know, I'm super down the rabbit hole on several different, you know, programs or modalities. But if this sobriety and living life on a spiritual basis every day, every moment, for me, like I'm truly, in fact, obsessed with my higher powers, like desire. Like I just can't, I have an addiction to like, is this in alignment with my higher power? Like how spiritually connected am I feeling? You know, I'm made for this. And I think, you know, I think a lot of us actually are made for this. We're just such empathic, huge-hearted, somewhat, you know, emotionally disturbed for whatever reason.
How dare you?
Yeah. And if I can have humility about that, right? If I don't have to feel like I really, for me to believe that I'm going to have all of the tools and all of the answers to fix myself is like hilarious. I mean, it's just, it doesn't even make any sense basically. Like how much easier is it to surrender, to allow even the group to be my higher power for a while? I mean, listen, there's days that I'm, or hours or whatever, that I'm in a weird space, you know, and it normally means that like I get to take some sort of action, and I get to reach out, I get to talk to somebody, I get to pray. And I don't always do that, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, I'm still trying to run the show. Like I'm not accepting the support that's there for me.
Going back to the reading, this one sentence, it's so packed. Let me just read it. The darkness in my life continues to radiate light when I arrive at the realization that being truthful and honest in dealing with my inventory results in my life being filled with serenity, freedom, and joy. So I want to double click on this. First of all, do you feel like there's or has been darkness in your life?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's still there, right? Like, let me not speak in truisms for everybody, but in my experience, like I have the shadow aspects and I've got the places where, you know, I don't have any negative beliefs about myself, and that's my conditioning, a lot of that. But the more that I can go back and look at this inventory, right? And I do that in many different ways, but we have a beautiful way of doing that. And that's called step 4 and step 5 and step 6 and 7, where you're turning it over and you're praying for the defects of character to be removed. But if I'm not aware of where I'm off course, or aware of the parts of me, because like, listen, we've all got places that where we're less than perfect, right? For me to come in here and to believe that there's nothing wrong with me, or, you know, I don't want to use the term wrong, but like there's nothing that I could change to make my life or the life of others better than me. Like that is the opposite of humility, mm-hmm. right? Like, of mm-hmm. course there are things that I do in my life. I'm human. I'm not the Buddha that I could definitely, you know, clean up. And so it's really important for me to be aware of what my character defects are, and where I tend to fall out of integrity, where I tend to lash out, where do I hurt people? And a lot of the places where I tend to hurt others are places where I still have some pain that gets to be healed, you know. And I've noticed from myself that these dark areas of my life are actually just asking for healing. And the reason that I was so angry and trying to cover up all of these issues in the past was that I had a lot of healing that I needed to do. And I didn't have the right tools to really get to the root of those character defects And it was scary and it was painful. And it was also, you know, I'm somebody who gets very impatient. Right. So yeah, having the tools to actually go in and sometimes it takes a while, right? I mean, I've heard this a lot in the rooms. People are like, oh, you got a decade. Now you're really starting to get sober. Right. So those first, you know, there was one point when I had 7 years of sobriety. And I remember, I mean, of course, every year I got more and more sane, but I still remember at like 5 years feeling like, whoa, I'm really like, I'm still pretty off, you know? So it takes what it takes, but also if you follow the suggestions of the program, I think you'll have a faster experience of recovery than I was having.
Hey, so I want to ask you a question. You know, you clearly have a good understanding of the program. And you're working a program. I know that. We happen to go to some of the same meetings, and I've heard you share, and you've got a lot of great wisdom to share with others. And yet, Alexa, you've got 9 months sober. I'm wondering if you're comfortable talking about what happened 9 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, it might be kind of a disappointing story. Like, I'm not a super low bottom drunk. I think I was definitely shaping up for that. When I came in my early 20s, I had been traveling. I'd been doing seasonal work. I was living up in Alaska for a period of time. I had fallen very in love with somebody who wanted me to travel the world with them. And I was like, actually, and despite being madly head over heels in love with this person, I knew that I was way too messed up to be able to pull that off. And, that really was a shocking realization for me. Cause I was like, wow, I wanted this relationship. I found like the perfect person. He's like basically saying exactly what I would want to hear. And like, I'm going to like nosedive this. And so it wasn't far after that, that I got sober, but you know, that's when I was doing the blackout drinking and all of the like just insane stuff. This last round of, you know, I was sort of propping myself up. Like I was coming to meetings, but I just wasn't committing to the program. But I was using the program because I knew enough, like I had some years of sobriety under my belt previously. And I knew that the one place that I could come to have the committee stop in my head was an AA meeting. And so, but I wasn't, I really was not ready. I wasn't humble enough to believe that AA was going to be the way that I could really find my way out. And so I was drinking, I was doing what I wanted to do, but I was mitigating. I was, I was trying to limit as the amount of drinking that I was doing. And I was actually doing a pretty good job of it. To all intents and purposes, anybody in my life would have said, Alexa's not an alcoholic. If they had seen me the last couple of years, but I also knew that they would have said Alexa is an a-hole. They would have said Alexa is an a-hole, right? And I did enough good things too, because I'm an emotional intelligence, that I had enough training that like, you know, there's like even boundaries that you can't cross, even if you are an a-hole, right? So I was doing enough good things for people that they could actually see like the truth of me. But I was angry. I was single for 4.5 years after being in a very dysfunctional relationship with somebody who wasn't getting sober. And I was just like, I was sort of like looking at all these alcoholic patterns and, you know, destruction in my life, even though it wasn't like, oh, I'm a fall down blackout drunk like I used to be. But it was like things were just not clicking into place. It's like, I've got this job, it should be good, but I'm angry all the time. I work with my family, I want to wring their neck. I'm like, you know, I was just like, nothing was. And I'm getting older. I'm like, oh my God, this is not, you know, maybe for a 30-year-old, this would be okay. But like, I'm like, you know, I'm coming up on 40 here. And like, I'm living my life as though I'm just getting my shit together. And it's just not the truth. And I mean, I think it was my fear that I would never be able to have deep relationships with humans.
I've got just over 7 years of sobriety. And even in sobriety, I feel like I was working a really good program. And, you know, getting sober relieved the biggest problem I had in my life, which was substance abuse. But even then, I was experiencing challenges that the program, I think I found difficulty with the program in helping in that area. And you mentioned emotional intelligence. I'm wondering if you're willing to share with the listeners what that program is.
Yes, absolutely. Second best thing I ever did in my life. I mean, it's right up there with AA, experiential emotional intelligence. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a buzzword these days. And about 8 years ago, I ended up getting invited out to Los Angeles, where they had a similar training company to the one that I now run in Philadelphia. And we actually do online trainings as well. Philadelphia in person, Columbus in person, and then online from, we have people log in from Mali and Ethiopia and stuff like that. So all over the world. But I was invited out to do this experiential emotional intelligence training, same training curriculum out in Los Angeles. And whoa, like blew me wide open as far as like what's possible for human potential, and was really like the next step. It was like AA on steroids. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely ate it up. I loved it. You know, just seeing people be able to get from, like, we call it a vision-based life. It's like, what actually is your purpose on the planet? What inspires you? It's about being a servant leader, right? So in order to be the best version of myself, I have to take away all of these limiting beliefs. I get to get to the source of them. I get to root them out. I get to let them go. And then I get to take massive action to put myself into situations that are going to have me be of service, are going to have me out of my comfort zone, because then I see what I'm actually capable of, which is like, we each have a Martin Luther King Jr., some version, right? Whatever that is for you, it might be an artist that like does amazing art that like opens up consciousness about the environment, or like, you know, like whatever it is your thing, maybe it's just launching your business, right? So if it wasn't for the work of Next Level, and then come to find out my family decided to open up a training center after we all graduated from it, it was that impactful. I don't know that the tools that I've received just through working the steps would keep me sober. Like, mm-hmm. I need a combination of all of these things, right? Mm-hmm. AA needs to be the foundation of my life. And then I get to work with coaches. I get to work with mentors. I get to put myself into trainings, like Next Level trainings, where I'm out of my comfort zone, where I get feedback on what's not working in my life, where I'm challenged, where I'm really held and embraced by other humans who see my greatness and I see theirs. And we create this like symbiotic relationship with each other to get me back into relationship with my goals and my dreams and, you know, to be a part of humanity. Like, for me, I always knew that I had that piece of me that needed to be of great use in the world. And I think that's a fundamental truth for most humans. I think some of us are more tapped into it naturally than others, just based on the families that we grew up with or the experiences that we had. But what we find over and over again is that when you do the work of experiential emotional intelligence, and really emotional intelligence work at all, which is really what the 12 steps are. It's like getting yourself emotionally intelligent, getting in touch with your higher power. Like, all of that is similar territory. This is just more focused on goals, dreams, becoming the superpower version of you. But we find that, you know, even people that come in that don't have a clarity on what their vision is, like when they do this work, they find it and they realize how extremely powerful they are. And I think, you know, in this day and age, especially, like, we need people to be awakened to their inner power. Like, it is the time for us to know what impact we're able to have and to be creating that impact, because, you know, we're at a really intense period in history.
Yeah.
And I think the way that we're going to best survive this experience is to really band together and you know, that we have to be happy and whole and knowing that we're living up to our greatness, I think, in order for us to genuinely live our lives, number one, number two, appreciate our experience, and also be of service and share with the rest of the world that needs it right now.
You know, having personally gone through a good portion of that training, you know, it's a phenomenal experience, and it's definitely not, I mean, it will definitely pull you out of your comfort zone. I will say that I don't believe that I could have done the level of work that's involved in Next Level without having gone through, you know, the program and had a really solid foundation in sobriety before getting yes. there. So,
yes. Yeah, we don't recommend that anybody with less than 6 months or in some cases a year of sobriety comes and does the work, because it flushes up your stuff. And that it's meant to be felt and then released. And yeah, you want to have a solid foundation for that. But yeah. Amazingly powerful for getting having a happier, more fulfilling and free life.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I always like to ask folks what advice they might have for someone that maybe has a similar background to yourself, maybe someone with a little experience in the program. What would you tell them? What advice would you give them?
I'd say keep asking the questions. Like if there's something that you have not, if there's a level of freedom that you haven't felt yet, if there's anything that still feels off, like keep asking the questions, right? Do the program the way that it's laid out. Make it easier for yourself. Like if you're getting, I mean, back in the day, people would say 90 and 90, and I was like, there's no way. I have way too many other things that are important, and I don't want to focus that much time on my program of sobriety, right? So this time it was like, okay, I clearly get to do something different. And it allowed me to actually soak in the program on such a deeper level than I had ever experienced before. And that was a humble move. That was an act of humility, and that was an act of surrender and turning it over. So I would say a combination of really like taking the suggestions from a place of like, let's just try this out and see, like maybe it'll work, right? Like let's not have contempt prior to investigation and right. We'll see, right? We'll see what the effect is. And then also keep asking, keep looking for the answers. Cause I know that Next Level came into my life, or the training center that I did out in LA came into my life, because I was one of these people that was like, there's got to be more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't forget the things that work, but still, you know, be curious. Like there's a wide universe out there, and the more that I can keep a beginner's mind and assume positive intent, you know, and do whatever I need to do to get myself into a place of allowing myself to be in relationship with like the great people, the great opportunities, like the more that I can believe that I'm worthy of that and then actually seek them out, like there's so much that's available for each of us. And so I would just say, like, always keep seeking.
Beautiful advice. Alexa, thanks so much for spending time with me. It's been a great conversation.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks so much for listening. If you want to find us online, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/dailyreflectionpodcast. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Reflector. You can read stories of recovery from our community at blog.dailyreflectionpodcast.com. Please don't forget to give us a rating on your podcast app. We greatly appreciate it. Have a great day.